Through the Constitution, because we're not going to get through it on just Sunday nights. May end up doing some on Sunday mornings, preaching some of these just as even as a full-on sermon to get through them. Of eternal life, we're looking at eternal life. I'm going to try to do two of them tonight, so I'll try not to do too long going into explanation, but I will. So we're going to move fast. So if you can move fast, I'm going to move fast. Of eternal life, we believe that all who receive by faith the Lord Jesus Christ are born again of the Holy Spirit and thereby become children of God and are the recipients of everlasting life. Once saved, are kept eternally by God's power and are thus secure in Christ forever. We believe once saved, always saved. Go to John chapter 1 real quick. We're going to go fast. John chapter number 1, verses number 10 and 12 says, we read this the other night. For John chapter 1, verse number 12 and 13 says, but as many as received him, you must receive Christ. You must be saved. If you never received the free gift, you are not saved. We are not all God's children. He says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood. This is not our earthly birth, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. That's how you get eternal life. God is a loving God. He does not want you guessing whether you'll go to heaven or not. He does not want you just, well, I hope so, preacher. I think so. God wants you to know that if you're saved, if you've received his free gift, you've received him, he's given you the power to become part of the family of God. And you're in the family. It doesn't matter. Listen, everybody out here who is saved in this world, wherever they're at in this world, we are all part of the family of God. We are all in the family. We're all going to be. We talked about this. There's three ways to get in the family. What are they, Ashlyn? Do you remember? Danica, you remember? Brianna, what's the three ways you get in the family?
Marriage, birth, and adoption.
With the moment you are saved, you are birthed into the family of God. The moment you are saved, the Bible says you receive the Spirit, whereby you receive the Spirit of God, which adopts you into the family, whereby, the Bible says, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And when we, one day, in heaven, there'll be what's called the marriage supper of the Lamb. We will be married. We are the bridegroom. So automatically, from the moment you are saved, you're in the family of God. You're a part of the bridegroom. I mean, part of the bride. Sorry, excuse me. You're part of the bride. And in heaven, we will be married to the Son of God as the bridegroom. That's symbolic in what Old Testament book? You see that in what Old Testament book? Brianna?
Ruth.
Book of Ruth. Ruth is a Moabitess. She marries a Jew. That is a picture of the church marrying Jesus at the marriage supper of the Lamb. So we have eternal life. Go to chapter 3, verse 36. Chapter 3, verse 36 says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not on the Son, not the Son, shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Those of us that are saved tonight, we have been given everlasting life through Jesus Christ. If you are lost this evening, if you've never repented of your sins, you've never been saved, the Bible says you will not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on you. And that's the truth. We are not all children of God. When somebody says we're all God's children, no, we're not. That is nowhere in the Bible. The Bible says until we are saved, we are the children of the devil. And we are of our father, the devil. But I'm not because I'm saved. But if you're here and you're lost, you're of your father, the devil. If you're saved, you're of your father, God. Chapter 5, verse 24. Chapter 5, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. When we were dead, the Bible says we are dead. Those that are lost are dead in trespasses and in sins. What New Testament word does God use that means to bring life? Does anybody remember the word? And you hath he quickened. Quickened means to be made alive. When you get saved, the Bible says you are quickened. Means that you're alive. But if you're dead, if you're lost, then you are dead. You and ye hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. That word quickened, you can see it in verse 21. So the Son quickeneth whom he will. So he'll make alive those that will. Go to chapter 10 now. Chapter 10. John chapter 10. Verse number 27. John 10, 27. My sheep hear my voice. If you don't hear the voice of God, it's because you're lost. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. Ain't it great? There are 7 billion people on this planet right now, and if every one of them was saved, God knows every one of them by name. God does know every one of them by name, even those that are lost. God knows, hey, this is how good God is. The Bible tells us God has a name for every star in the sky. And there's more stars in the sky than there are people on this planet. And God knows every star by name. So God cares even when the little things happen in your life. If God takes enough time, the Bible says that he made the stars also. When you see in creation in Genesis chapter 1, he says that he made the stars also. That's how he describes. But yet, he still cares enough about the stars, the Bible says, that he called each one of them by name. So even though he doesn't give much regard as far as telling us how he created the stars, he still tells us that he cares enough about them that he gives them all a name. And if he cares that much about the stars, what do you think he cares about you? Well, how much do you think he cares about you that he took the time to fashion man out of the dust of the earth and breathe into him the breath of life, and he took the time to come to this earth and die for you on Calvary's cross? He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. You said, preacher, I don't follow Jesus. That's because you don't know him. If you don't hear his voice. The sheep know the shepherd, and they follow his voice. Hey, I could go to Ashlyn's house this evening, and them dogs may come up to me, and they may just love on me just because. But if one of their family over there calls them dogs, there's a pretty good chance. Now, sometimes you get some dogs that they just like, especially a lamb. They don't care who's rubbing them. They don't care who calls if somebody's rubbing them. But most dogs, it don't matter who's rubbing them. If their owner calls, what do? They come running. They come running. Hey, that's what the Bible's saying here. He says, my sheep, they hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Why? Because we're hearing his voice. He goes on, he says, and I give unto them eternal life. I don't have to worry about death. Death does not scare me. Now, it bothers me in some sense with other things because, my wife is like, I don't understand. You handle all these other things. I don't believe animals have a soul. I don't believe animals go to heaven. I'm sorry if that offends you. There's nothing definitive in the Bible. We can agree, disagree. I just don't see it in the Bible. So in my life, my mind doesn't. My wife's like, well, when somebody else dies, when somebody dies that's saved, it doesn't bother me because I know I'm going to see them again soon. I know I'm going to see them again soon. When Oreo died, when we had to put Oreo down, because it bothers me because there's never going to be another one like him. He's unique. And he has, to me, he has no soul, and I'm never going to see him again. So it does bother me in that sense. So young of a cat, but God had a purpose for it. I don't know what, but God has a purpose. I've said before, all things work to the good to them who are called according to his will. Not all things are good, Maggie. They're not. But all things work to the good to them who are called according to his purpose. And he's got a purpose behind it. He said, I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. This is what I was talking about the other day. He said, those of us that are saved, we're in the hand of Jesus. But the best part is, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So not only,
here, Matt, you hold your hand up because your body is one of the few ones. Not only are we in the hand of Jesus, and He's got us, but the Bible says we're also in the Father's hand, and the Father's hand's got it. So we're locked in there two ways. Anybody thinks that you're getting out? Man, there ain't no way. He said no man can. Because I've had people say, well, I can take my hand myself out of God's hand. The Bible says no man can take us out. Are you not a man? When somebody says that and says, well, I can take myself, I don't know what kind of ignorant person will make that statement to begin with, but I've had people make that statement. I can take myself out of God's hand. Why would you want to? Why would you want to take yourself out? Because if you could, you wouldn't have eternal life.
He said, my father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man's able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So we're in Jesus' hand. The Father's hand is wrapped around Jesus' hand. He said, now I and my Father are one. So that's how we know that Jesus is God. He's greater than anything we can imagine. Go with us to Romans chapter 8 real quick. I've got to hurry. I'm going to try to get through the other one too. Of repentance tonight, too, if I can get through this one fast enough. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. Amen. Look at this. Right here, the one above it. It's just the one I just talked about. But chapter 8, verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. My spirit bears witness with some. Listen, when I'm talking to other Christians, not all the time, because there's some people that have quenched the Spirit. The Bible says, quench not the Spirit. Why does it say that? Lost people can't do that because lost people can't quench. Lost people can't hinder the Spirit of God. Saved people do. But when I'm talking to somebody that's saved, that's living right, doing right, the Bible says our spirits testify. Our spirits witness. I can tell. Not 100%, but there's a lot of times I can talk to somebody that's saved, especially I love other preachers, man. You get other preachers, and the Bible says iron sharpeneth iron, but you just get in there and you just encourage one another. When Brother Voles was here, it was so good to have such a sweet brother and all that they went through and still serving God. Go with us now on over to Danica's favorite, 1 Peter, right quick. 1 Peter. After the book of Hebrews, Danica. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Amen. All right, 1 Peter 1, 3 and 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Verse number 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We are kept by the power of God. Those of us, if you've been saved, listen, no matter what may come your way, maybe you have some doubts, maybe you had some trouble with you, even with your faith, we are kept by the power of God. We are kept by that power of God. There's nothing that you can do. If you really got saved, if you really are saved, there's nothing that you'd want to do. We are kept by His power. Go to 1 John 2, just maybe a couple pages over, depending on how your Bible's laid out. 1 John chapter 2, verses 24 through and 25. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise which He hath promised for us, even eternal life. I love it. God's promised us something. God cannot lie. And He's promised that if you're saved tonight, He's given you eternal life. No man can pluck you out of God's hand, out of Jesus' hand. Go to chapter 5. Chapter 5. This is eternal life. Hey, over and over again, verse after verse. You don't have to hope that heaven's your home or think, well, it's a possibility, preacher. You can know that heaven's your home if you're saved tonight. If you're lost, you're here and you're lost, You can get it settled tonight if you'll call on the name of the Lord. 1 John 5, verse 11. This is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. God's given us a record. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. He doesn't want you to leave this world thinking, well, I may go to purgatory. I may have to go here first, or I may have to, if I die, preacher, God's going to give me 3 chances after I die. No, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says you can know that you have eternal life if you've repented of your sins and believed on the Son of God. Go over, flip over to Jude, the book of Jude, verse 24. Now unto him. That is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. He's keeping you from falling. By what? By the power of God. He keeps us from falling. Hey, if you're here tonight, you're saved, you've got eternal life. That's what the Bible makes very clear. You don't have to guess at it. You can know. Let's see what time we got now. Number two, our second thing tonight, of repentance. We believe. Go over to Mark while I'm reading this. Let's go ahead and flip over to Mark so it'll be ready. Book of Mark. I try to get these in order. Matthew, Mark, chapter 1. Mark, chapter 1. Mark, chapter 1. We believe that repentance is a change of mind and purpose toward God prompted by the Holy Spirit. Repentance is a change. It is a change in your life made by the Holy Spirit. It's not a works. You cannot bring about repentance in your life. Repentance is brought out by the Holy Ghost when you realize, hey, my religion can't get me to heaven. Hey, my sin is taking me to a Christless hell. Whatever it is that you're trying to do to get to heaven, or maybe even not even trying to get there at all, repentance is just a change from that. Saying, you know what? I'm changing from being a sinner to thing. We believe that repentance is a change of mind and purpose toward God prompted by the Holy Spirit. That it is characterized by godly sorrow for sin. That you're actually sorry for sin. You ever met somebody that claimed to be saved and they're still not sorry for sin? If you haven't, you will. If you haven't, you will. But I've met many of them in my day. They'll claim the name of Jesus and they'll go out and sin and they're not sorry. I'm sorry when I mess up. God convicts me. The Holy Spirit convicts me. Sorrow, godly sorrow for sin as offensive to God and ruinous to the soul. And that true repentance is inseparably related to true faith in Jesus Christ. True repentance, there'll be a change in your life. I don't know if this is on here, but we're going to find out. If not, remind me to behold, old things are passed away. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I may look it up. Mark 1:15. This is, and Jesus came preaching the gospel of the kingdom. So Mark and Matthew both give us testimony that Jesus started out His earthly ministry with repent. Mark 1:15, and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Have you ever believed the gospel of Jesus Christ? Have you ever believed the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for the full payment of your sins? If not, you can tonight. Repent is to turn from sin, turn from religion, turn from whatever it is, and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Go over to Luke, next book of the Bible, Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. Amen. Luke chapter number 13, starting in verse number 1. Still here in a few pages. Luke chapter 13, verse 1. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galatians whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Pilate had them killed, whatever reason. Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galatians were sinners above all the Galatians because they suffered such things? Ain't it amazing? Nothing's changed. There's still a lot of people in our day and time that think if you're suffering, it's because you got sin in your life. If something's going wrong in your life, it's because sin's in your life. That's not always the case. Now, it is the case in some, but God makes that very clear. It's not always the case. There's some people just go through different things. He said, Jesus asked them, suppose ye that these Galatians were sinners above all the Galatians because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Verse 4, or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that these sinners, that they were sinners above all men that dwell at Jerusalem? We think, well, that they died this cruel death, preacher. They must have been sinners, wicked people. And don't get me wrong, there are some that do, but he said it's not the case, not always the case. He said, I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. We'll do the same thing will happen to us if we don't repent of our sins. Go over now to Acts chapter 17:30. I like this verse. Acts 17:30. This verse applies to everybody. Acts 17:30, and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. You must repent. There must be a change in your life. And it's brought about by the Holy Spirit. Some people, it's a lot more drastic change because some people were wicked sinners. Some people, it's just a subtle change, but there should have been some change. There's a change. Listen. Even in my daughters that are raised to do right, to dress right, to be in church, there is a change in their life. Now, they're still teenagers. They still got attitudes. But there was a change, and especially the oldest two's lives, when they've made professions, there was a change in their life that they were different. Are they 100% better? Absolutely not. Was I 100% better? No. We're still sinners. We're still in flesh. But he said he commandeth all men everywhere to repent. You must change. Old things passed away. When I got saved, I was a foul-mouthed, dirty-minded young man. I drank, did a lot of things in the world, looked at things I should not. God forgive me. But when I got saved, my desires and the way that I acted, the things I talked about, changed. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. I changed. God brought repentance in my heart. Chapter 20 here. Acts 20. Verse 21. Acts 20, 21. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance away from sin and toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is salvation. That is what we believe in repentance. Romans 2. Romans 2. I'm sipping my water up. We almost done. Two more. All right, this one and one more. Romans 2. Verse 4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, knowing not that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Realizing how bad we are. I was thinking about this earlier when I was getting ready. Knowing how bad we are and how God must judge sin, then it's the goodness of God.
that leadeth to repentance. Knowing, hey, I don't have to die in my sins. I don't have to go to a Christless hell. I can repent of my sins by the Holy Spirit working in my heart. I can repent of my sins and trust the Lord Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior. I don't have to die in my sins. The goodness of God. God touched my heart. I wrote it in my phone right now. What did he gain? All these people that deny who Christ was or deny what he did, what did he have to gain for what he did? Sure, yeah, his name is still known, but he was killed at 33 and a half years old. He didn't gain great riches. At the time, he didn't have great fame. He didn't know. If he was just a man, what would make a man do what he did? To claim to be the Son of God, to go all the way. Not only that, but he could have just said anything there when he was being judged. But he didn't. He held his tongue, and they condemned him to the cross. What did he have to gain? That's why I might preach that Sunday. What did he have to gain? Did he gain riches? Did he gain fame, not that he knew of? What did he have to gain? Power? He laid his life down. You know what he gained? He gained somebody else's cross and somebody else's grave. That's what he had to gain. Why? Because there's a chance to gain, you and I. The goodness of God leadeth to repentance. How good God is that he laid his life down for my sins and for your sins. That's the goodness of God. And he was beaten and mocked and made fun of. Flesh ripped away from his body. His beard ripped out. A crown of thorns beaten into his brow. Why? So that heaven would be our home. The goodness of God. Man, we've got riches uncorrupted waiting for us. The goodness of God. Go to 2 Corinthians 7:10. 2 Corinthians 7. We're going to flip back to chapter 5 in just a second. Chapter 7, verse number 10. Well, let's read number 9. Verse number 9 says, "Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner." See, a lot of people are sorry. A lot of people are sorry. We probably all have seen criminals on TV. They're sorry because they get caught, not because of what they did. That's not godly sorrow. Godly sorrow is to truly be sorry and realize that your sin nailed him to that cross. Your sin put him on Calvary's cross just as much as my sin did. He said godly sorrow. He says here, he said, "You were sorry after a godly manner that you might receive damage, that you might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of." You won't be sorry for this. Those of you, everybody there tonight that you're saved, you ain't sorry for it, right? The idea that somebody would say, I could lose my salvation, or I could take myself out of God's hand. Paul says, godly sorrow worketh repentance not to be repented of. You won't want to lose this. This is 21 years of salvation. This November, I've been saved for 22 years. It just gets better and better as I go on. Because I know with each passing day, get closer to home. Heaven's my home. Godly sorrow worked for repentance in my heart. I was sorry for my sins. See, most people are not sorry for their sin. Oh, they get under preaching and they may get a little bit convicted for being drunkards or whoremongers or fornicators or whatever else. But real godly sorrow worked for repentance. You really realize what your sin did to Jesus Christ. Put him on that cross. You realize that, hey, I should be in hell tonight. For all I've done in my life, I should be in hell tonight. But for the grace of God, he saved me.
as an 18-year-old young man, he saved me. Godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. Why? Because they're going to die in their sin. Here's what he says here. Flip back to chapter 5, verse 17. Here's the verse. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Is there a time in your life when there was a newness because of salvation? Was there a time in your life when you can say, not because mom and daddy made you say something, not because the preacher made you say something, but because the Holy Spirit worked in your heart and brought you to that place of repentance, and you said, you know what? I'm a sinner. My sins put Jesus on that cross, and I need to be saved. If there's never been a time like that, I'm asking you, begging you, to come to this altar tonight and put your full faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins. Hey, and you can have what we talked about first, eternal life. And know that heaven is your home. Let's all stand. Is heaven your home? Have you repented of your sins? If not, you ought to come down this altar begging God to make you a new creature tonight. My Heavenly Father, I thank you for these that have gathered. Thank you for the Word of God, Lord, and the Constitution as we get closer and closer, Lord, to constituting this church. May others come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and repent of their sins before it's everlasting too late. Lord, bless tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.